Primos y primas, que lo que, welcome, bienvenidos to the Dear God Are We There Yet, the podcast con tu prima favorita, soy Alicia Sanchez, and yes, this podcast is bilingual, empowering social good one conversation at a time, sharing weekly insights and inspirations from people adding their magic to make this world a better place. Whether you want to learn more about volunteer travel, being more socially conscious, or you love a good conversation that breaks down barriers while evoking pasión and emoción, this is the podcast for you. Grab a cafecito y vamos a hablar. Primos y primas, ¿qué lo que es? So, there is no control, no control, no hay control. First, I want to say it's Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving. You know, growing up Latina, Thanksgiving was literally every day. If you're Latino, you're Dominican or whatever, and your parents served your father or your family and 12 different dishes for a normal Tuesday night dinner, then you know what I'm talking about, because that exactly what it was growing up. Un plato para el arroz, un plato para la yuca, un plato para... It was like a plate for freaking everything. Imagine my dismay at the end of the night when I have to do the dishes, right? Because, by the way, we didn't believe in that, you know, dishwasher stuff. I mean, I think even we had a dishwasher and we never used it. I don't even know what it was for. My dad's like, eso no lava la losa. Like, that does not clean dishes. It's just making more of a mess. Yeah, Growing up Latina. Anyways, there's no control. I want to talk about this podcast today because I know that, you know, we're going to be around family this week and we're going to be around the holidays, and it can stir up so many different emotions and so many different conflicts or so many different thoughts. And first, I want to say before we start this podcast, you are amazing. You are amazing. You are doing your best. You are a breath of fresh air. Everything what is meant for you won't pass you by. You are beautiful. You are not gorda. You can eat the cake. You are not anything of what your family wants to say or probably throw shade at you. Throw shade right back at them. Excuse me? What are you doing? You know, when somebody asks you, what are you doing? You tell them, I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best, Tom. All I do is do my best, okay? So I want to talk about control, because much of the conflict we face in our day-to-day lives is related to our desire to always be in control. Like, what would it be like to relax? Our need to be in charge of what happens to us and other people. We have this thing. I mean, I know I do it sometimes for the nonprofit, and I do this for even in my day, like, oh my God, I can't control everything. I can't control how they're going to respond. I can't control how they're going to feel about me. I can't control that. Listen, Linda, I'm not a therapist. I'm nobody in that field. Okay. I'm just talking to you like your prima favorita, like it's 1995. And I'm telling you this, that we set these things for ourselves, but it's natural. We're allowed to have these emotions. We're allowed to feel this way. And I know it's crazy and it's contradicting, but this control comes from a need that of, one, we care, and two, I mean, we are hypersensitive of some sort of what we need and what we want. And so I want to say that I want to validate the way you feel when you're in control. So when you feel like, oh my God, what is going to happen to me? Is this going to work out? Listen, the world continues doing what it does, whether we get involved or not. And before I get into today's story, I want to talk about, you know, how we can consider our own bodies. So much just happens without us doing anything at all. I mean, you know, our heart, it's going to be pumping. Our digestive system is going to keep digesting. And my mind, remembers to come back to the present when it has to be distracted. It's like we have to do that. We have to remind our mind and say, oye, oye, ¿qué lo que? We got to come back to the present when it's distracted by all these different things. It can be externally, when our friends, our family are, again, it's Thanksgiving weekend. It's Thanksgiving week. And what's going to happen is that all these emotions, either good, bad, and indifferent, is going to come back. And however you resonate with the holidays, that's where our control is going to come back. It's going to come some way in form. But I want to talk to you a little about, you know, creating time in these moments. And when we are distracted, I was just telling my wife the other day that sometimes I'm in a conversation and I feel like I'm outside of my body listening to myself, but not literally listening. Like I'm watching myself. I know it sounds really crazy, but it's like, and I'm telling myself, ¿qué lo que tú estás diciendo? Like, what are you talking about? And then I forget what I'm talking about. And yeah, some people might call it ADHD. I don't think it's ADHD. I think it's something deeper that I'm actually going to be probably digging deep and why and what this is all and why not. You know, it's the philosophy of how our brain works. It's the philosophy of who we are and our involvement and how we evolve as people. So I want to talk to you about this story about a 42-year-old mom, and she just got recently married, and she moved to Mississippi. Okay, 42-year-old mom, newly married, moved to Mississippi, and she was so excited. She married young, and she's a African-American woman, and she married young. Her parents were like, you need to marry, you know, if you want to, you know, they had this whole ideology of like a man needs to support you and blah, blah, blah. So she lost a little bit about herself because she was so involved to this man that she married. And she was, you know, being a mom, a great mom, but she just felt something was missing. And she had all this stuff going on in her life that she kept writing, and she kept writing these notes and these little notes and these pieces of paper and kept putting them in a box. So like, you're going to do this. Like she would be in the laundromat, and this is information from her. She would be in a laundromat, and she says, I would be writing these random little notes on the back of receipts and tickets of things I want to do or places I want to go or words I wanted to even look up. Somebody would say something in passing and I didn't understand what that was, and it was for me to go back into this box and say, hey, I can pick this up. All of this while my children were young. Life happens, and her marriage unfortunately did not work out. When I say life, sorry. Oh, I was doing this on the podcast. Es que cuando yo estoy hablando, I don't know, something in my throat. And so she says, unfortunately, her marriage failed, and it was because she felt like she couldn't live life. She felt like she was just a mom, and she didn't just want to be a mom. She wanted to be more than a mom. She wanted to be something deeper, and she wanted to be able to teach. She'll never forget, her son came to her and asked her a question one day after church, and she didn't know how to respond because she never had that experience, and she's always wanted to have that experience. And these were the things then, the moments of her divorce, as she was talking to her ex-husband and telling her, like, I was never going to live with you, and maybe not even after you, but I'm going to try. And years later, she decided to just say to herself, I am going to put myself out there. And she did. She put herself out there, and she found this amazing, or the love found, I always say love finds you. So love found her. She found this amazing man. And she wasn't out. She was going to put herself out there. But the way that she met him was with one of the moments from her box. Because when she recently got divorced, the first thing she went to was her box. She felt like the depression and the sadness and all that, what would get her out of that was her little box. So she went to her box and she got all her little notes, and she's like, let me go in here and cheer myself up and show myself what is the possibilities of this new life that I'm having. And I can't have to be happy. I can't be sad. And I know it's going to be hard. And as she was doing she went to the library, and she was going to the library. She wanted to get a library card. It's something as simple as getting a library card and just looking through all these different things. And she's, you know, found her husband that she ended up marrying, her second husband. And it wasn't until it wasn't until 6 months after that she got married that she began to get headaches, she said. And she thought it was because, you know, she's had so much stress from the wedding, and she was working long hours, and her children were in loads of after school activities. And so she just thought it was just so much stress So she went to the doctor. And they said it was nothing. It was nothing, that she's just, it's just a stress. So she goes back home and she's like, no, something doesn't feel right. Her son comes up to her and says, Mommy, are you okay? You don't look good. She was just sweating profusely. She didn't know what was going on. She ended up in the emergency room and she's telling him, hey, I just saw the doctor not long ago and they said everything is fine, it's stress. I mean, can you just give me something? I gotta go, you know, I'm planning all this stuff. And they're like, no, we're gonna do something a little bit, we're gonna dig a little bit deep because of your age and your history and all this stuff. And they said to her, well, we think you need to go to a specialist. We're not too sure, but we want you to go to a specialist. She's like, okay, whatever. So she goes to a specialist, and all this happens literally after 6 months of her getting married and remarried, and she finds out that she has brain cancer. And she says in here, you know, I already knew I was dying, and I didn't even care. At first, when I read that, I was like, wait, you were dying and you didn't even care? Like, what the heck? But let me continue the sentence. She says, I knew I was already dying and I didn't even care because at this moment I was living. And as long as I was living, I was to live the life I wanted to in this very moment. And I was just, my heart just thinks, like, in my mind is just like, wow. She was trying to control everything about this new life and going in her box and doing all these different things. And she was saying in this story that she was, at first she wasn't going to be caught on to the past and she was wanted to be in the future and she wanted to do all these different things. But she was telling herself at this moment when they told her this diagnosis that she wasn't being negative. She was just saying that she didn't even care about what they were saying. However you perceive this, perceive it in this way. She didn't care what Titiro Mundato, what Doctor dijo, what whoever said. All she cared about this moment was living in the being that she's living now. And because she knew that she couldn't control anything else. And we can control our thoughts. But I love how she was such a realist. Because me, I would have been like, girl, you got to think positive. You got to do this, blah, blah, blah. But then I'm thinking about it and I'm like, no, she is thinking positive. She is thinking positive because she's saying that I'm not trying to control. Yeah, I'm going to control. I'm going to tell myself that I'm going to be living, but she's being positive. Like, she already knew that her brain cancer was deadly. She already knew the facts of where this could be and what the probability of these miracles. She wasn't hung up on that. She's just like, yeah, I stated the facts, but I'm going to live right now. So she's like, turn this around to just living and being. And being what she is now and not what she was last week or her old marriage or her old this and her old that and what she could have, would have done. I thought that was powerful because it just brings back to, like, our mind remembers to come back to the present when it has been distracted. And that's what it was. And when we think about all these social projects right now in your community, and how everyone talks about, you know, homelessness and, you know, feeding the poor and all that stuff. Like, our distraction is that, yeah, we know that X, Y, and Z could be giving more. We know that the food and our agriculture could be doing more. We know all these different facts. But what are we doing today to say, you know what, I can't control those people. I can only control that I need to check myself with food waste in my home. I need to check myself and probably go through an inventory of my canned goods and give them to my local communities. I need to check into my neighbors and see if they have enough food, or the elderly in my community. Those are things that we can control. And so just like her, this lady from Mississippi who from day to night thought that life would be different, she's not hung up on it. And what can we do to not be hung up on things? And so I just want us to think about that during the holidays, because there's going to be moments where people are going to test us. They're going to say things. They're going to try to manipulate us into thinking a certain way. And how can we spread love? How can we give that? How can we use their control of how they want us to think and twist it and make our distraction back to become present in that moment? You know, so that's why I said in the beginning of this conversation when someone says, ¿Qué es lo que tú estás haciendo ahora? ¿Tú tienes un trabajo nuevo? Do you have a new job? What are you doing now? Are you still with Rick? Are you still with Hergaraja? Are you still with Linda? Are you still with this? I'm doing my best, Tom. I do my best. Like, bring it back to that moment that's about you and what you want them to leave that table with, or what you want them to leave with that conversation with. You know, ay, tu si ta gorda. That's something that Spanish people, oh, whenever they see you for not a long time, oh, you got fat or you got skinny. Like, really? Or didn't you do your hair? Like, let's turn those conversations around. You know, let's ask them. Let's ask these people, you know, whoever they are in our family, because maybe they're not aware of how they want to control us. Or even with them, they're controlling their own selves. Start these conversations at the dinner table this week for Thanksgiving. There is no control. Do you agree with the statement or do you not agree with the statement, and why? Like, start with that, you know, and make it fun or make it funny. And I hope you guys all have an amazing Thanksgiving, and you eat a lot. And you enjoy the people around you. And of course, we know that gratitude lives with us every single day. But be sure that in your week, on your weekend this week, if you are on Black Friday, if you're going to go shopping, buy a gift for a child. We are partnered with Fostering Hope out of Iowa. And we have sponsored some children there. And if you need information, you can, you know, pick up a toy for them, or even for your local drive, you know. If you're at, like, the supermarket, you know, what we've been doing lately, we bought a whole bunch of gift cards from Publix, which is our supermarket. And even just the other day, we were at Sam's, and this lady, she told us her story in 2 minutes. Like, she picked up something on the floor, and she said, I'm so sorry for getting your room. I'm like, it's okay, girl. It's okay. And then she's like, oh, I'm just buying stuff for the homeless kids. And I'm like, wow. And she just told me that she was homeless and now she's giving back. I went into my wallet and I gave her 2 gift cards out of some of the gift cards that I had, so that she can give it to those families and they can buy a gallon of milk, a pie, something sweet, something nice, whatever. And it's continuing to pay it forward. And I didn't know I was going to meet that woman. My whole point is, make some time. There's no control in what we for the entire world and how the whole world is. But if we can make one person smile and make a difference with that one person, it's a huge difference. And that person starts with us, and then it's a rippling effect. Hasta la próxima. I hope you guys have an amazing Thanksgiving, and we will see you next week for another episode of the Dear God Are We There Yet? The podcast. Wepa! Thank you for tuning in. Show us your love and join the conversation on one of our ruedas sociales, social media, leave a podcast review, and be sure to tune in next week. ¿Y qué ahora? What's next? Check out our website and volunteer today. We have so many virtual volunteer opportunities, and remember, you can be a part of the change in a changing world. Hasta la próxima. Besos!